folks, it's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone. Folks, Steve Williamson here, and sitting across from me today is this strange fellow.
Strange. We do, like, I do, you know.
I've seen you the last few years, eight years, sitting there.
Yes. Well, we try to be strange because that's the only way we can be interesting.
Good.
That's kind of the way we go. It's kind of the way we roll on this side of the microphone.
And what are we talking about today?
Well, we have a really, really, really interesting concept, the idea of ranked choice voting. When I first started this, we called it rank order voting.
Okay.
And I think ranked choice voting makes it a little clearer, although, you know, a lot of organizations, not the size of, you know, the states or federal government, would do this kind of voting. And liked it. I think I mentioned the last time we thought we were going to do this topic. When I left teaching, I was going to devote my life to three things: fly fishing, taxing.
You fish for flies.
Very good. It would have been cheaper to fish for flies.
Yeah, I know. And also, your feet would stay warmer if you did fly fishing like I did.
Fly fishing, ranked choice voting, and taxing churches. Fly fishing, ranked choice voting, and taxing churches. Now, I bought a fly rod. I never got the line wet. I never went fly fishing. I found other things to do, I think, that were more fun than fly fishing, apparently. Are we taxing churches? No. So I wasn't successful there. But here we are in 2019, seriously pursuing the idea of ranked choice voting.
Ranked choice voting is taking off, isn't it, Mike? I mean, it won in New York recently, in New York City.
It did, in the city.
And it's being used in California.
Now, New York City, I like to think, was smart enough to realize the benefits of this. And California, I'm going to say, was smart enough to realize the benefits, and the benefits are the opposite of what we're suffering now. The whole juice, the whole emotion just falls out of the political system. The politics falls out of the political system, and all you're left with, but you're left mostly with issues. You're left mostly with the things that matter to people, and not personalities, and not money, and not all the other things parties care about. We're on a show called Democratic Perspective. We're a partisan show. I tell people, I try to say that every week. This isn't journalism, ladies and gentlemen. But we research everything. This is the truth. We believe we're telling the truth, but we do have a perspective. We have a clear democratic perspective. Ranked choice voting and having candidates get their offices that way just takes so much of it out. And parties don't like that. So party wonks like yourself, and I guess wonk, by the way, I didn't realize is a
where does that come from?
Is an insult.
What's the number here?
2824154.
And some of us who listen to the station hear that 45,000 times a day. So that's two. You get two strikes against
two,
you. One more, and you have to go to the principal. I'm sorry. We'll send you to the office. Yes, and in there, Tom has an employee that will punish you. Corporal punishment. We believe in corporal punishment at CASM. Ranked choice voting. We got ranked choice voting.
And it's something that, you know, frankly, folks, I don't know much about. I've heard about it. I understand it's controversial. I even have participated in organizing a meeting about ranked choice voting. We organized this meeting, Mike, up in with the League of Women Voters up in Flagstaff about it, and nobody showed up at all.
know.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Recently?
So we're sitting there. No press showed up and nothing. This is a couple of years ago.
It's just
ranked choice voting, as you know, more better than I do, has been around for quite a while.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. When I first heard about it in the early 2000s.
Wow.
And after the election of George Bush. Well, part of it is the racist roots of the Electoral College, the whole absurdity of the Electoral College. So it takes care of the two things
How would it do anything about the Electoral College, Mike? I agree with you about the structure of the Electoral College permanently puts small rural area voters more than it does folks who live in cities. And that disparity is a problem with our democracy, because it keeps things being held down by a minority of voters who have a lot more say than the majority does.
And we talked about this, we meaning the founding father, the tyranny of the majority has now been replaced by the tyranny of the minority.
Right.
And that's not, either way, tyranny is...
So how would ranked choice voting affect that? In other words, suppose we had it here, I don't want to put you on the spot. Suppose we adopted it. I know, yeah. It's too late, Mike, I'm sorry. Suppose we adopted it here in Arizona. What form of it? Because when I went on the internet, my head got very dizzy, because there's like five or six different versions of ranked choice voting and its brothers and sisters.
And that's right. It's and this is why we six states have opted for it in the 2020 Democratic primary, ranked choice voting. So a lot of states are trying it in the primary. I'm sort of avoiding your question because it's too much too soon.
All right. So is it mostly primaries that this is happening in, or is it in for elections for Congress and whatever you...
Yeah, it's mostly primaries now, but that's not going to be the case in New York City, and I don't believe that's going to be the case. That's not the case in California.
So let's give an example. You know, we have so many Democratic presidential candidates, and let's suppose, I know this is not happening, that we have ranked choice voting for candidates for president. How would that work? I mean, how would you
well,
do
let
that?
Me, let me, I'm going to... The simplest thing is that... You don't vote for one. You vote for exactly what the name says. You rank your choices. So how much emotion would be taken out of a system? And let me take it back. Become more positive. How much positiveness can come if I come to Steve Williamson and say, Steve, I want your vote? He said, well, you say, I don't particularly like you very much. I don't like your position on this. So, well, how about we can talk and maybe you'll choose me second?
Okay. Now,
so
suppose
we keep talking.
It's Elizabeth Warren and Bernie. And I like Elizabeth Warren better than Bernie. So she's my first choice. Bernie's my second choice.
There you go.
And then I have maybe a third choice.
That's right.
All right. Biden, say, is my third choice.
Could be four. Could be five, depending on how many.
How do they set that?
That's
complicated.
The number
right,
parts,
let's
I don't
avoid that.
Well,
that,
and especially in these days, the technology has caught up to this. They've always been able to do this, but that certainly with the fast computers and secure computers, the technology has caught up to this idea.
So suppose your ranking is exact opposite of mine. You like Biden first, and then Bernie, and then Elizabeth Warren, and we both vote. Then what happened? You need more people than that for this thing to work, of course.
Right. Well, they count them all up. They count the number of people that chose Biden a second and third. And
so who wins, Mike? I mean, folks, I have to admit, I really don't quite understand this process. And I know it's complicated. I know there's all these variations. I don't mean to put you on the spot, because I know that when you look at it, you're looking at five or six different variations.
Right.
But how would that work? Say there's three of us. Claudia's sitting over there. She votes. how does it work? Who wins the nomination?
Yeah, I'm afraid of giving out bad information here. I think if... let's make it simple. If 100,000 people vote for Claudia, and one person votes, 100,000 people vote for Claudia as number two,
Okay.
One person votes for Steve as number one, Claudia wins.
I don't like that system because I lose, Mike.
Okay, well,
I'm kidding.
I can't help you with that.
I'm kidding, Mike.
So that's the oversimplification of ranked choice voting.
So
it keeps up communication, and it keeps voters and candidates engaged in other ways than anger and attacks.
So I guess I see the rankings. So we're having a Democratic primary here for president. And I can see why if I get to vote for three different people, if my first choice doesn't come through, maybe my second choice would. And I see how that would keep me more engaged because American politics is always winner take all. You know,
right.
And even if there's like 10 votes separating two senatorial candidates, it's the person with those 10 extra votes to win. And of course, with the Electoral College, we have a system where like a certain individual lost the presidential election by 2 million votes and still got to be declared the winner.
Let me try to get you through this. Today, when you cast a ballot for one person for an office. For the moment, let's put aside some elections where multiple people are elected, like city councils and that kind of thing. It really actually works better on those sorts of things. Or really, it works just as good. But generally, whoever wins the plurality of votes wins the election. In some situations, a majority vote is required to win. In other words, you've got to have 51%.
Right.
All you have to have a runoff.
So we have all these candidates running and nobody has 51%.
Right. Let me get through this first.
No, I'm just echoing what you're saying.
If no one gets a majority in the first round of voting, a second round is held until the top two finishers, and then those two guys run off. With ranked choice voting, the second round is unnecessary. Under a ranked choice voting system, a ballot would have multiple columns representing number one choice, number two choice, and number three choice. The voter selects candidates for the various choice levels. For example, I might select Cynthia as my choice, Sam as my number two, and Pat as my number three. Let's say the vote totals percentage Sam 42%, Pat 37%, Cynthia 21%. In today's typical voting process, either Sam wins or there is a runoff between Sam and Pat. Right. As the two top vote getters. But under ranked choice voting, ballots that voted for Cynthia, who got the lowest number one choice, would be examined for their number two choice votes. For example, let's say Sam got 42% of number ones and 5% number twos. Pat got 37% number ones and 16% number twos. Pat would be the winner.
Why is Pat the winner, Mike?
Pat, let me finish this. Pat would be the winner, which personally is how the runoff would have gone. Maybe. That presumes that voters seriously thought about their number two choice votes. And Cynthia voters would have shown up for the final election. So the idea is that...
But suppose you...
More people voted, if they're assuming that they thought about their number two. It doesn't matter whether they thought about it or not. More people voted for Cynthia at number two. I'm not an expert at averages, but if you average that out... Sam was 42 number ones, 5 number twos, Pat got 37 number ones, 16 number twos, and Pat wins because by adding up the numbers, 37 ones and 16 twos become, if you count that as a half.
Interesting.
So I'm not sure how the math works.
The thing I'm wondering, Mike, is the votes count the same? Does my vote, if I vote for number one and vote for number two, is that the same? Now, I understand if somebody gets a majority, the election's over. Okay. But are the votes for number for number two, my second choice,
right.
are they valued in the same way as my votes for number one?
Of course not.
Okay, how does it work then?
I'm just, even if we just do it mathematically, if number one is worth one, and if number two is worth 0.75, if number three is worth 0.50, if number four is worth 0.25, that, depending on the number of people in the race, and this is where the design problem of ranked choice voting becomes in. You have to design it for the number of people in the race. So as I said, if you get a lot of votes at a particular rank, you can win the election because it's obvious the electors, the voters, liked what you had to say, liked your positions more than the other voter because they chose a significant number or a number chose you as number two or chose you as number three. And not enough. A lot of voters can manipulate their vote. But anyway, that's a whole nother thing.
We don't want to get into the design. I'm actually thinking about that, Mike. Suppose voters just vote for one and two instead of one, two, and three.
A lot of people will do that.
Yeah. So this is a complex change in the way Americans vote. And if you're not a mathematician, it's going to make your head spin.
No, you just know that number two is worth less than number one. Number one wins. Your number one choice wins if they get more votes. So that's real simple. But the win can be taken away from your number one if thousands and thousands of people think another person would have been better at number two. Now, if your candidate was number four on everybody else's ballot, he or she loses as he or she should because they were not chosen by the, and you're the one that chose them. So unless they get lots of number ones or enough twos, threes, and fours to overcome who did get the number ones, it's just a much fairer system.
So it elects
the person that voters wanted. It elect rather than some other method.
Okay. Plurality of votes goes to one person. My candidate that I voted for as number one could lose, even though they've won the larger number of votes. Correct?
No, I don't see. There's no mathematical way that the number one person could get more votes than two, three, or four and lose. If you get the votes, you win.
So suppose 10 people vote for one candidate for number one. We're going to get dizzy with this stuff.
Yeah.
And 20 people for no. So in other words, number two choices can override number one choices.
With
or not.
More votes. Well, you didn't say that. If number two gets more votes.
As number two,
enough more votes. He's got to get enough more votes, then he or she wins.
All right. So what is the virtue of this system, Mike?
Fairness.
In what sense?
That candidate that people wanted, that candidate that resonated with the largest number of voters, wins the election. The benefits of ranked choice voting are fairness, depending on what fair means. If you think the candidate that engaged the most number of voters makes it more fair. If you think the candidate that talked to the most number of voters and convinced them to vote for them either at a high enough ranking to get them a mathematically approved, a mathematical win, and even at, you know, depending on whatever you assign, that number one is worth more than number two. Number two is worth more than number three.
Okay, so I was talking a couple of years with ranked choice voting people, and my position was just to look and see how it worked in California, Mike, whether it worked successfully, how it impacted elections, because it is a real change. It's really hard to calculate, how this is going to impact things.
We're calculating that these are the three things that benefit ranked choice, that why it's such a benefit. some of us see it as more fair. But we can argue about fair being a more of an abstract term. So what's fair? Well, I think the things that I just said make it more fair. The other thing is it eliminates runoffs, it eliminates unnecessary extra rounds of voting.
Yeah, I'm not so much worried about the expense because it sounds like the expense of designing the ballot would be offset by the fact that you don't have the expense of doing a runoff.
Well, that's it. We need a governor. We got these six people are running for governor. Doesn't matter what party. And three of them are Republicans and three of them are two of them are Republicans, two of them are Democrats, and two of them are Green Party. And they just run. They just campaign. And they run, and people vote for who they want. Forget about a primary. We don't need multiple rounds. They just run for the office that they want. People vote for if they want to vote for Green Party because they believe they don't care so much about the candidate. They believe in the values of the Green Party. This person is representing the Green Party. That's what I want to vote for. But that all happens inside you.
Okay, now, what I want to go to is something you just mentioned, which I think is important, is you wouldn't have party primaries, right,
that's
anymore?
Right.
It abolishes party primaries.
Well, it can.
It can?
It can, and it should, if you're really doing ranked choice voting.
So everybody runs at once. Everybody who qualifies based on some sort of criteria runs at once.
Well, whatever.
And runs not in a party primary, but in a general election to start with.
In the state of Arizona, and I guess other states, to qualify to vote, you have to get so many signatures to get on the ballot. That still exists. But as far as I'm concerned, we can talk about that. I don't think that's fair either.
Yeah, I mean, there, folks, I think if you follow politics a lot, you know that there's a controversy about the fact that if you're a Republican or a Democrat, established political party, you need one amount of votes. If you're an independent and you want to run, they demand, I said votes on
signatures.
Then you need more signatures than your Republican and Democratic
As you said, a lot of people, I guess, aren't familiar with this part of the process, and it seems absurd in 2019. But in order to qualify for the ballot, you have to get out and get people to sign a petition that says, okay, this person, you can put this person on the ballot.
How else would you do it, though?
That number is, I don't know, like qualifications? I don't know, maybe have a board that would just like a resume. Oh, look, this person's, and no offense, guys, but maybe went to school a little bit and learned about something or has demonstrated some sort of civic engagement, civic involvement. Maybe they've been coaching soccer
but
for
that
20
would,
years.
That would make it in a subjective base of who would be selected. In other words, if it's people selecting it, then it's people selecting it. I would much be more favor as some sort of objective
some
thing.
Some point
like,
system.
How many points? This will be, I think, an endless discussion, Mike. You know, like you get 2 points for a PhD and 1 point for coaching soccer. And I just don't think that
will
work.
Wait. There was a city council opening. A political position normally, right?
Yes.
Except they were going to appoint someone.
Yes.
I stood for an interview based on a resume.
Yes.
That a board of people looked at.
That's correct.
And then they voted according to their own lights. I wasn't the only one. There was four people running that was trying to get that job.
But that's seeking a temporary appointment until there's an election. That's a different thing.
But it's still chosen by a board based on your qualifications.
Right, but you still would have to stand for election.
Where you would be chosen for a job based on your qualifications.
Based on your votes.
Oh, no, based on the color of your eyes or the shape of your face.
No.
Or how much money you got. That's a much better system.
So that's a good example of how you could do it. I just think that it's one thing to have a temporary appointment where you're filling out a board
where a rational choice is made for a candidate.
What's rational choice, Mike? I think that's the wrong way to go.
It's much better to spend millions of dollars and have them choose you by the shape of your nose.
It's better to have voters decide who they want to support and sign a petition than it is to have some sort of committee decide who runs. I would not support having a committee do that. It's one thing for temporary where you're filling out a thing, but whoever is selected, suppose you have been selected for it, you're still going to have to run for election. You have to go before the voters of Cottonwood and seek their votes, right?
There are many other designs for ranked choice voting. I have just given you my choice. If you have other choices for designs for ranked choice voting, then you should come up with them. But this is the way I would design. Don't forget, I threw in the board. What we're talking about is number of votes. Signatures on a petition.
I understand that the board thing is a separate argument, from the
in Arizona. In Arizona, the number of signatures used to be really fairly low and doable. If you got your butt out there and you got a few thousand signatures, you found people that said, hey, you know, I believe in the process, you should be allowed to run for office. Now it's tied to the number of votes in the last election. So you ended up you need hundreds of thousands of signatures,
depending on even in the local elections
of
in
statewide,
Sedona,
and statewide.
You have to get signatures, and the number of signatures that you have to get is based on the vote of the last election.
Right.
So the last election of Sedona, we had a whole lot of voters. So the number of signatures just to get on the ballot has gone up.
Right.
I don't see that as a terrible problem one way or the other.
Okay, fine. But we're saying that's the that's one way we have of qualifying voters for a ranked choice election. And it's true. Maybe you would end up with 10, 15, 20 running for governor. If they could get the signatures, they can get on the ballot, and maybe it should be exactly that fair.
What attracted you? I mean, this is years ago. You've been interested in ranked choice voting longer than anybody else I know. I know other people like it, but they're new to it. What attracted to you that long ago, 10, 15 years ago?
The fairness that there was a second, third choice. In other words, it wasn't all or nothing, which is a silly, stupid way in this sort of environment to choose a leader. You have a whole bunch of leaders with various qualities, and some you like and some you don't like as much. And so you didn't have to throw in with one guy or one woman and say, okay, this is my candidate, when you know damn well it's like a, you know, recipe. I like these parts of it. I don't like this part of it. So you can rank your choices, and you'll be just as happy or almost as happy with the second choice or the third choice because of those things. And that person still got a shot.
But, you know, if I'm a Republican and there are like three candidates of different parties, I can vote just for the Republican Party, right? Republican candidate.
Well, part of the idea of ranked choice voting, I believe, is it eliminates strategic voting. The whole idea of single-shotting, in other words, your ballot is invalid unless you've made your choices. It's called ranked choice voting.
All right, so you can't do it like in a city council election where there's three openings and you like one of the candidates and you vote only for that candidate. And this is hard to explain, folks, but this is called one shot or two shot, depends on how you do it. You're not voting for everybody, because if you vote for everybody, it gives a different result overall than if you just vote for the one candidate you like. It advantages the single vote more, and that's what that's the system we have now,
right?
Which is you know, single shot. So if there are two Republicans running and one Democrat, and you're a Democrat, you vote for the Democrat. You don't vote one, two choices or something.
And that's what I said, ranked choice voting would eliminate strategic voting. This is one of those things that makes voting unfair. In other words, you want to make sure your candidate gets in. So rather than looking at the slate of candidates and voting as you should, you say, you got this cohort of people that are going to vote for just this one candidate, because strategically you want that candidate to get in, rather than a nice, honest vote where everybody votes for who's available.
So why should I end up being forced to vote for some Republican candidate, in my case, that I don't like and doesn't, I don't think is any good?
Well, I see, right, and that is a, if you're going to invalidate, then make sure, so this is your last choice. In other words, your Republican will be choice number 10,000.
Yeah, I'm just trying to understand the process.
Well, that's true.
You're talking to somebody who's not clear at it. And when I read about it, I got less clear. I mean, I didn't spend enough time doing research.
I think the best, not invalidating the ballot would be the best way to go. And that is to, as time went by, there would be less and less strategic voting. I think we like to think that most people, like myself, would embrace the chance for a second and third choices.
Okay, you're talking about California, which is a heavily Democratic state now. Democrats.
That's because the Republicans are crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I know.
Oh, okay.
I agree with you on that.
And they're mean.
But right now.
And they're killing
right
people.
Now, I know.
It's a criminal organization. Oh, okay. We'll talk about that another day.
I'm not sure I agree with all that, but even as a Democrat, the Republican Party is a disappointment.
Oh, I got an idea.
They sunk so low.
I got it.
I'm sorry that they went that direction.
Yeah, yeah. How about? I'm going to hire my daughter for the when I buy the station. I'm going to hire my daughter and her husband, and Wayman and my two sons are going to work here at the station. And Wayman, I'm going to make sure that my son-in-law can operate a foreign trade business out of the White House. Out of this office. Okay? And then I'm going to investigate Tom for being corrupt.
I don't follow the analogy, Michael.
Oh, you can't. It's really
Cosentino,
difficult.
But,
very
but,
difficult
I don't
to
know
follow.
Who you're referring to. You're referring to someone whose last name begins with a T and the way he's running the presidency?
Now, let's investigate Biden as for being corrupt. Let's investigate Biden for being corrupt when he's got every member of his family and every friend he ever had getting rich off the American people. And
let's investigate. It is like a huge joke. And the other
let's
thing
investigate
is,
Biden.
For folks that don't know, Joe Biden, it's like attacking, Kerry for lack of courage when this guy is
running through the jungles of Vietnam,
risking his ass and stuff. Now they're, Biden is by all accounts considered probably one of the most honest, physically honest about money and stuff in the entire Senate and as a vice president. He's one with the highest reputation. So that's what you're attacking for. You're attacking for corruption. Kerry has got this incredible military record, so you attack him as being a coward, even though you flew jets around in circles in Texas.
Yes.
Which is important to do, of course.
Yes. Let's see.
Texas from the Mexicans.
Now, for those of you, like you said, the League of Women Voters that held a thing on ranked choice voting and nobody shows up.
That was a couple of years ago, Mike, before it was that clear. I think they've had subsequent meetings and discussed it. I know that the Democrats have discussed this in detail with some professor up at NAU. I'm coming to this kind of, again, as kind of an innocent in how it works. And when I asked them questions, I didn't feel they were able to give me very good answers, but that's probably a lot individual rather than the process itself.
Well, and that's the other thing is the transparency in ranked choice voting. what if there is a bunch of candidates? The order of the candidates, some people believe the order of candidates. We talk about down ballot races. So there's all sorts of issues that have to be discussed and decided on what a ranked choice ballot would look like. We know that people at the top of the ballot get more votes than people down the ballot. People in politics are always talking about down ballot voting.
That's what they're talking about, folks, is that many, many more people vote for president or senator or congressperson than they do for the city council or well that wouldn't count,
your state
but a county
senator.
Or what I should be state offices and vote for Secretary of State.
Felicia French, you know, got those that voted that could have voted for state senator in the last cycle were many, many fewer than those that voted at the state level for governor and for, even though they showed up to the polls and they checked the governor box.
They stopped voting after the first
They checked
people.
The senator box and then they stopped voting because that's all they knew. In my opinion,
In New York, when I was there, they had a box that checked it with a Republican and Democrat.
Oh,
if you checked that box, it voted all the way down the ballot.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, in New York City, there's not a lot. The conflict in New York City is over who's going to win the primary because I don't think a Republican has carried New York City since John Lindsay back in,
Well, I think for a lot of people,
70s?
The losing the straight ticket made things easy for them. Having the straight ticket made things easy for them. Losing straight ticket voting now makes you have to look at individual candidates.
You really have to, folks. You really have to, whatever your political party or non-political party, you have to look all the way down the
what's your choice, Stephen? Not to vote. And that's the choice they make. They check number one. They check governor. They check senator. And then they don't vote for state senator.
Yeah.
And then I get asked all the time about, hey, what's this judge thing? Do you guys vote for judges?
When I was more active in DOOR and providing the descriptions of what to vote for, like the propositions are particularly tricky because most of the names of the propositions are exactly opposite of what they're actually about. But the other question we got constantly was about the judges, what to do about the judges, what to do about the proposition.
Other
positions that people wanted. And people would say, well, you know, if you lived in Yavapai County, there's nobody running for sheriff except a Republican. So
right.
Do I vote or not? And I would say, people, well, you know, it doesn't matter, you know. And I think in Coconino, it's pretty much Democrats that win down battle. So you have in different, and this is true all over the country, in different venues, in different organizations, you have different dominance of one political party and not the other. So if you're in Mississippi, you know, it's all Republicans all the way down.
Nobody can remember the last time a Democrat ran for Yavapai County supervisor, although they are looking for one right now, by the way. Some Democrats here in Sedona particularly are displeased with the Republican we have that represents
sure.
Yavapai County. We have five who's been on the show, by the way, and we'll be on again. But
certainly a good guy, Republican or not. We have Republicans on the show, folks. Mike's right about us being partisan, but partisan doesn't mean that we don't have Republicans on the show. We don't have independents on the show. Doesn't mean that. Doesn't mean that there's any kind of litmus test of what your political party is.
Well, that's
before
true.
You can come on the show. There isn't. Never has been 8 years.
Never has been 8 years. Thank you for saying that. That was important. And when Randy Garrison comes on the show, sometime around Christmas, we will talk about all the development in Yavapai County. So it'll be a really good show.
We don't talk to Randy about his political party. We talk to him about the positions he's taking on issues, right?
Right.
That's what we
exactly.
do.
Exactly.
So
right.
Just folks understand that when we're partisan, it's not the kind of extreme partisanship that you might be thinking of.
Right.
And we must entirely agree with the Democratic candidates, but I would say most of the people coming on the show, we don't actually have any idea whether they're Democrats or independents or what.
I do want to mention that Randy Garrison show that he's agreed to sometime soon because you pick up local papers. When he was here last, maybe 2 months ago,
yeah.
6 weeks ago, he said there was 19, I don't want to say developments, but there's 19 developments the county's being approached for a number of developments, whether they're commercial or residential or not, with the subject of the discussion. But there's so much change and so much potential change and building going on in Yavapai County The county's being approached left and right. So those he can talk about, he will. And some of them are already coming out. The Cornville Association had a great big meeting the other day, and nobody spoke in favor.
Question I would ask Randy Garrison is about the amount of water we have for all these development. I voted for him, Republican or not. I vote for Republicans when I think that they're good candidates.
Yeah.
My sorrow really is that the Republican Party has just headed just downhill in terms of ethics, and I mean they're just a bunch of conspiracy theorists on the national level. There's a bunch of conspiracy theorists.
This morning on Tom's show, they talked about Jim Jones and drinking the Kool-Aid and how you could get 918 people to commit suicide in a cult. Quite frankly, I don't think it's any different. How the Republican Party can support the corrupt, dangerous treasonous. I mean, he should be hauled out of the office and shot for treason. I'm not exaggerating.
He's a little extreme.
He has compromised us with a foreign government. While he was denying a foreign government our aid, people were dying. You understand? People die because of his behavior.
So I wasn't on the show
last
Monday because I was sick. But it meant that on Tuesday that I wasn't able to do much but sit around and watch TV. So I watched the whole impeachment hearing, something I never do. I watched the whole thing on Tuesday and Friday. And I watched all of it. It was astonishing. And
so Republicans believe because of their control of the media, they can spin this their way. They can make Democrats look bad.
Well, they will do it through Fox News. They are, in fact, doing it. You can see comparisons of coverage.
When the truth is, he negotiated with a foreign government. He withheld aid. And while he did that, people were dying.
All right. But ranked choice voting as a way of doing it wouldn't mean that you wouldn't get someone like Donald Trump as president. It wouldn't affect the kind of craziness. Or do you think it would make the parties be more responsible? Would it make Democrats and Republicans be more responsible and talk to more generally to more wider variety of voters?
Absolutely. Donald Trump won on fear and division. He wouldn't have been able to do that because people would have been able to vote for second, third, fourth in the primary. And any one of those guys could have won on that case in that scenario because he would have appealed to such a small number of voters.
he wins these small majorities also in the Republican primaries. We're talking about the Republican primaries, folks.
Yeah.
So that wouldn't happen, you don't think, with ranked choice voting. And
no.
It would have been another Republican candidate. We don't know which.
He would have had to engage on a much broader variety of issues other than we hate brown people. And we're going to stop brown people from coming on the wall. We're you know the Trump issues. I don't have to say them again here.
No.
But that's how he won. And other things, by people not showing up to the polls.
Would Mike, let me ask you this. And this is, I think, the most important argument that hear for ranked choice voting, it would reduce partisanship. Do you think that ranked choice voting would reduce partisanship? I'm talking about the negative aspect of partisanship, where it's our guy, he can do anything. It's their guy, he can't do anything right.
That's what it does best. That's what it does best, folks. We want to remind you that if we've whet your appetite at all for a Democratic perspective, you can get a Democratic perspective tomorrow in Cottonwood from Felicia French, the stellar candidate for LD6 running against Sylvia Allen. Of course, she has a primary to get through. But running, Felicia is running for our area as our state senator. And we want to send her to run against Sylvia Allen.
She's very approachable, I will say about
August.
That. You can just go right up and talk to her about any issue. So whatever your party or whatever your deep depth involvement in politics, you can just go and talk to her.
You can. It'll be at the Red Rooster Cafe tomorrow night at 6 p.m. At the Red Rooster's Main Street in Cottonwood, 901 North Main in Cottonwood, Red Rooster. Democratic meeting, talking to Felicia French and other issues. Thanks, folks.
been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news, right here on AM 780 KAZF. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.